This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
Welcome to On Brand, a podcast for brand builders by brand builders. Here's your host, Nick Westergaard of Brand Driven Digital.
Hey, brand builders. Have we got a show for you? This week's guest is Kieran Flanagan. Kieran is the VP of Marketing and Growth at HubSpot and has helped add millions in additional traffic, users, and revenue to their bottom line. He's responsible for managing all of HubSpot's global demand, acquisition of new users, monetization of freemium tunnels, and leading the global marketing team. Kieran, welcome to On Brand.
Hey, Nick. Thanks for having me. Excited to be on.
Well, I am thrilled to be chatting with you, and I'm sure many of our listeners, their ears perked up because, of course, in the marketing space at this time, HubSpot is the go-to on managing that funnel, on building that funnel, and really kind of the inventor of what we call inbound marketing today. So I think that, you know, folks are going to be excited to hear from you. So thank you for joining us.
Great. I appreciate that introduction. Yeah. I'm looking forward to talking all things marketing and brand.
Yeah. Yeah. So in looking at that, and it's interesting because your bio itself specifically talks about some of the phenomenal growth. And probably a question that is a little bit meta because it relates to what HubSpot helps with, and that's, of course, inbound marketing. But also, I'm thinking that that's got to pose something of a quandary for the company itself because you are about growth, but then a platform of your size to continue the kind of growth that you had probably presents something of a challenge too.
Yeah, it's one of the hardest things to do is to keep on growing, right? It doesn't get easier. I think there's a point where you've figured out a channel and you've managed to get some repeatable playbook or process that works for that channel, and then you're kind of in this optimal state of flow where you're growing and things look good. I think the thing that happens for scale up brands and for large companies is the one thing you can guarantee is there's a point at which that thing you are doing will no longer generate the returns that you need. And so you always need to be cognizant of, you know, what are the ways and the things that we think about is like, what are the ways that we're going to get better within these existing channels, do better, and keep on growing at the rate we want? But how do we also pivot some of our team's time and people's time towards finding out new things that we can invest in that will drive future growth? And I think getting that balance right between the things that you invest in today that drives today's growth and how you start to think about how do I grow in the future is one of the most challenging parts of being that going from a startup to scale up business.
Well, I mean, those are two very separate things, and you kind of summed that up perfectly. I mean, it's the difference. I mean, in a large macro sense, we want to be about growth, but that conversation very quickly becomes growth today and future growth, and those aren't always the same conversation along the same lines.
Yeah, I think that they can be the same thing if your future growth is just doing the thing you're doing today but better, right? Let's say I'm driving a ton of search demand or inbound demand. I also have very, very good word of mouth because I've created a remarkable customer experience. And I think ahead to 2 years' time, 3 years' time, like how do I keep on continuing to grow the way I do? And so your discussion is probably, well, can I keep on amazing my customers, creating a great customer experience and probably improving my product? And if I invest in those things, I feel confident that we have a space within the market that we're just not going to lose to competitors. And within the marketing side of things, in terms of creating, continuing to create search demand and leveraging that inbound marketing playbook, the way to kind of figure out if that is, you know, you can do that within the future is to understand what's your available demand of search traffic for the topics that you are relevant for. And so if you looked at those things and you thought, well, actually, we're pretty good for the next 2 to 3 years. This playbook can be stretched forward and continue to grow at the pace we want. I think they are one and the same conversation. Where they separate for me is when you're doing some things and you can say these things have a certain shelf life. And for us to be the company we want to be in, you know, X number of years, we really have to make some dramatic changes. And one good example of that I can give you from HubSpot is I joined HubSpot originally to grow out the international marketing team. I did that for about 2.5 years. And after that, I joined another small group of people who were kind of given the mission within HubSpot to disrupt our own business model, because we were really thinking about how do we grow into the future company we want to become. And we thought, and we really decided we need a different way of going to market. And so we invested in freemium and this kind of product-led funnel. And so that is an example of where the discussion is very different in terms of how you grow in the future, because you're fundamentally changing or making big changes to the business itself.
Yeah, well, and I love the idea of being proactive about it and thinking about ways to disrupt your own business. Seems directly related to that growth mindset that we were talking about. You know, one question that I have in looking at how much you can do, and just again back to that idea of a growth mindset, is you talk a lot about content quality versus content quantity. And that's something that interests me, because I think sometimes it's easy to think that growth is a quantity game as opposed to a quality game.
Right. So it's a quantity game if the quantity drives actual value for you. And so what right. I mean by that is if you think about content and because we've always been obsessed by the quality of things as marketers. Like when you work in a B2B company, a lot of the discussions you have with sales is going back and forth and the quality of leads, and you have all of these scoring algorithms. And similar to content, like it's how do I judge the quality of this content and what's the right quantity for me? And so when you think about quality of content, I think it's more measurable for some content than it is for others. So content that you create to kind of accelerate your demand or grow demand for your product or service, it really, that is a pretty binary answer, right? So you were either generating demand from your content that's either resulting in traffic, leads, and customers. And the good thing for us as marketers today is our analytics platforms are probably better than they've ever been. And so we can kind of look at that really granular view in terms of what content is generating for us. And for that type of content, I think you create as much, the quantity is as much as you can create that actually has a return. And I measure quality of the content based upon the return I get from it. Where it gets a little more complex is the content where you want to shape the point of view within a market or align with people who have the same point of view as you and create an emotional connection with people. And that's kind of more akin to brand building. And the metrics there are, I think, a little bit more difficult to track, right? If I'm a marketing agency and I create this content to create a point of view within the market and really create an emotional connection with a certain segment of my audience, my metric may just be how many people can, during a sale, our sales calls, can remember that article or reached out to us because of that article. So it's a little bit more subjective on how I actually measure that. You can do things like measure. I'm sure this is not news to people, but if you're leveraging podcasts or social media or all these different platforms where you can create engaging branded content, there's specific metrics you can look at to see if the quality of that content is good, right? Is it driving subscribers for your podcast? Is it driving engagement on the social platforms? So that's how, that's kind of how I think about that quantity and quality.
Well, it's interesting because it's such a big conversation to be have that the quantity versus quality is a big label, a big line of discussion. And I think what you pointed out that's interesting there is, as much as we want to make it an either or, it is sort of a both and, because, like you said, it's quantity to a degree, but it has to be quantity of what's right too. So I think it's a really, really interesting and not a black and white way to think of it either.
Yeah, there's no it's quantity. You know, I'm all about finding something that works and right. And then being aggressive with that thing to the point where there's diminishing returns. And that's, but the thing you have to get good as a marketer to knowing and being okay with not everything is measurable and not everything has a black and white answer, right? And I think it's, content is one of those things where you can definitely measure most of it. I think as marketer, if you can measure 80% of the things you do, and then 20% of the things you do are not measurable, but you invest in them because you just believe with your experience, your knowledge, the things that you've done in the past, you just believe that these are the right things to do. I think you can get okay with every part of your role doesn't need to have like a black and white answer.
Do you struggle to keep up with everything that's new with marketing today? Don't get frustrated. Get scrappy. I'd love to bring my Get Scrappy keynote to your next conference or corporate event. With a foot in the classroom and a foot in the field working with clients, I know what works and why, and I can't wait to share it with you during a talk that mixes strategic insights with tactical, practical tips. Learn more, including watching video and viewing popular presentation topics, at nickwestergaard.com/speaking. That's nickwestergaard.com/speaking. Now back to the show.
So talk a bit about your hearts and minds strategy.
Yeah, so we've kind of touched on it there, and one of the things we think about a lot on HubSpot when we think about our content marketing, inbound marketing efforts, we think about, hey, how do we really win the hearts and minds of every small and medium-sized business owner on the planet? You know, all of those SMBs and mid-market business owners and leaders within those companies who really need to help in terms of how they can grow their business. And so when we do that, we think about, well, when we want to win the minds of these people, we really want to pull them in from things that they are already looking for and help them solve a problem. And so that mind content is really created with, we really build a search first content strategy. So we have a whole editorial calendar based upon the things our audience are already looking for. And we win the minds of them by educating them on the problems they have and teaching them how to be better marketers, salespeople, customer success people. And that's very tactical content, has existing demand. And when we think about heart, we run a similar process, but the differentiation is the editorial calendar is built in a different way, where mind content is built in a very systematic, what are people searching for? There's available traffic for this. The heart content is, okay, what is our point of view as a brand around the, you know, the products we have and how they can really help these small to medium-sized business owners? And how do we want to connect with those people within the market? And how do we create an emotional connection with them? And then that heart content is similar to what I talked about earlier in terms of how we would think about the return on investment. So it's a little less measurable, but very, very important in helping HubSpot to build a connection with their their different audiences. And that's kind of how we've split heart and mind content. So it's actually kind of separated into two different teams who run a very similar playbook, but really the way they build the editorial calendar and decide upon the content is very, very different.
So in listening to that, my question is, in the relationship between those two teams, you know, as I would kind of maybe an old school, different school would be that, you know, your hearts and minds might be top of, or your hearts might be the top of a funnel and the minds a little lower, getting more specific. But maybe that's what does that relationship look like? How do you think about that?
Yeah, it's not so the mind's content actually is still quite top of the funnel for us, because it's the things people are searching for prior to the fact that they even know HubSpot exists at times, right? So they're thinking about, how do I generate more leads, or how do I improve my search results, or how do I build a better sales process? And they haven't really even considered that there's software available for them to help them do those things, but they're searching around those problems, and we can create content to first educate them about that problem and then lead them in to learn more about the product. The hard content is changes dependent upon the audience that we are speaking to and the point of view that we are actually kind of promoting and creating content around. And so it definitely can be at the very top of the funnel, where we just want people to know that HubSpot has a platform to help every SMB and mid-market business leader to grow better, to when there's a specific audience who may already be using part of the product, and you really want them to create an emotional connection to using the entire platform and see themselves, growing in the way they want to, creating a more remarkable customer experience, and building a better connection with their actual customers through HubSpot's platform. And in that example, we're actually further down the funnel than some of the mind content, because we're actually building content for people who may already be using HubSpot's software, or at least know who HubSpot is.
Does it seem like heart content has been surging in the past couple of years, that it's more important than perhaps it used to be?
I think people are realizing that to stand out in a market that has a ton of competitors, like, there's never been so much choice for customers when it comes to software products, because it's become easier, I think, to build software. Still not something that's, you know, you can do overnight, and but definitely the kind of friction to create a great product has been reduced as we've managed to, as costs have come down and things like that. And so you actually, in every segment, in every kind of market you have just a lot more competition. Right. And in a world where there's a lot more competition, I think it's really important that brands have a point of view within the market, and kind of that point of view speaks to a certain segment of their audience, right? So they can pick that brand out from every other brand who's doing the same sort of thing. And that's kind of what I've seen. And I think that's why we're seeing it more investment in that kind of content, what we call hard content or brand building content. So yeah, I definitely think it's become more important. I've definitely seen it become more visible. But I think both are important to a growing brand.
So in thinking about that, is that something that is someone sitting out there thinking, yes, that's what we're lacking, we're in one of those markets, and then they think, oh, what's our unique point of view? Is that something that has to be reverse engineered? Is it something that's best extracted, that's been there all along, that maybe needs to be repackaged? How can listeners get at the heart side of their strategy, if that's an area that they're lacking, realizing that I've just implied that they might be heartless?
Yeah, a lot of heartless tech companies.
Well,
yeah.
in a way, I do think that's kind of true.
Well, if you look at most SaaS companies, they probably tell you that they are going to increase your demand, reduce your costs, and do something else that's the same as every other SaaS product, right? And that's part of the problem, is that, yeah, they probably all do those things, but actually, what's the company that has struck on a chord for their persona or their audience that has struck on something that they truly care about. And so, yeah, I can use HubSpot as an example. You know, the reason I joined HubSpot is because I was passionate about trying to be a better marketer and believed in inbound and didn't want to be an outbound marketer and felt like inbound would make me a more valuable marketer and someone who can contribute more value. And that's an example of a company, you know, using us as an example, where you took a strong point of view within the market and a lot of people disagreed and a lot of people agreed, but it's better than just being kind of, you know, it's better than not invoking any of those emotions with your audience. I think it's better to have detractors, but very strong people who are passionate in your brand than have people who just don't really care. And so how you can kind of shape that point of view. The more and more that I've worked within marketing and also kind of within growth and spent a lot of time with product and engineering, I think it's just spending a lot of time with your customers. I think it's probably something that sounds simplistic, and yeah, we all know how important it is to spend time with the customers, the people we want to actually use our product, but we probably don't put enough effort in at times, and trying to figure out how we can shape a point of view that they're truly passionate about and how we can shape a point of view that helps them to see how this product is going to make their lives better. And what they imagine their lives to be with your product, how you can encapsulate that within your point of view, within your branded content.
Well, and I think what's really powerful there is that, you know, we talked about the placement of these different aspects in a funnel scenario or something. But I think when you can do what you just talked about, when you can reframe where you're at in the hearts and minds of your customer, you occupy a very different space for them as opposed to all of the other quote unquote heartless tech companies out there.
Yeah, exactly. Like you, there's someone you find people. Like there's products you can't live without, right? There's, when you go through the list of products you have, there's probably a couple you're like, I can't live without. And that's probably partly because you feel some sort of way about the product, but you also feel very warm and fuzzy towards the brand itself. And it's because their point of view is you identify with that as a person, right? It's part of, oh yeah, I'm one of these people. I'm part of that tribe. And nailing that is so important because that kind of audience are going to follow you no matter what. Like, and let you still have to fulfill that. That's why I don't believe in this kind of brand as your moat, because it oversimplifies, which is, it's kind of the new strapline in tech.
Right.
It oversimplifies the fact that, hey, I could have a really strong point of view and I could be this, you know, have all these amazing brand type content. But if my product is terrible, right, and doesn't deliver, those people aren't going to stick around. So your brand is the sum of all parts. But I do think if you can create an emotional connection with that audience and a strong point of view that they feel, they feel some kind of way about, and your product can deliver on those promises, then you're in a very strong position.
Absolutely. Well, Kieran, as I look at the clock and realize that we're close on time ourselves, I wanted to close by asking you, speaking of hearts, I guess, who's won yours? What's a brand that's made you smile recently?
So I'm going to give you a brand that I don't ever buy their product, but I love their marketing, and that's Burger King. So I really love Burger King's advertising against McDonald's. I think it's fun, but it's also quite competitive. So the couple of examples that I've loved recently is, I'm not sure if you've seen it, but their mobile app, where you go 600 feet within a McDonald's store, and if you have their mobile app, it will give you a gift discount on your phone to go to the nearest Burger King and buy one. And then the augmented reality app they had, where you could point it to a billboard, a McDonald's billboard, and the McDonald's advert would look like it's going up in flames. I think that's very clever marketing. I love the fact that, you know, as a geek, they went from that kind of funnel, their first one as like a billboard, into an actual app. So they're using offline advertising to get people to sign up to something online, and then they have a user base on that app that they can kind of remarket to. So I really love it. I really like what they're doing. I think there's a ton of things people can learn from them, which is, hey, it's okay to poke fun at competitors, and if you do it in a kind of funny way.
Well, awesome. Well, I think I know the answer to this one, but where can folks go to learn more about who you are and what you do?
Yes, you can connect with me on LinkedIn, search Brad on Twitter, and then HubSpot.com for all of the tools you need as a growing company.
Awesome. Kieran, we'll link up to all of that in our show notes. Thank you for joining us on Brand.
Thanks a lot, Nick. Thanks for having me.
And before we go, I'd like to flip the microphone around to our community. If you like something that you heard on this episode or another, if you have a question you'd like one of our guests to answer, let me know using the hashtag OnBrandPodcast, and you may just hear your thoughts right on the show. Speaking of your thoughts, be sure to let me know via iTunes, Google, or other review sites what you think of what you're listening to. You can subscribe to the show via iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, and Spotify. Until next week, I'm Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
This has been the On Brand Podcast, presented by Brand Driven Digital. For show notes, links, and more, go to onbrandpodcast.com. Remember, you can subscribe to the show and leave a rating and review at iTunes and Stitcher. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.